From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
On today's program, Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, continues his 13th message in this series of studies in the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. The text for the message is verses 28 and 29, verses which speak of two acts of faith on the part of Moses and the children of Israel. First, they kept the Passover, a reminder that they had been saved from the death angel by the sprinkling of blood. Then they passed through the Red Sea, a symbol of God's deliverance from the enemy of their souls. In this message entitled Salvation, Signified and Sealed Through Faith, Dr. Cairns is drawing some important spiritual lessons regarding what God through Christ has accomplished for His people. The Passover signified the salvation of Israel from the death which claimed the firstborn of Egypt. As we'll see, this salvation must be according to God's word. It must be by the blood of the Lamb, and it must be received by faith. Then the passage through the Red Sea demonstrates God's power to keep His people from their enemies and from the world. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text is found in Daniel chapter 5 and verse 27. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. It is well frequently to weigh ourselves in the scale of God's Word. You will find it a holy exercise to read some Psalm of David, and as you meditate upon each verse, to ask yourself, Can I say this? Have I felt as David felt? Has my heart ever been broken on account of sin as his was when he penned his penitential Psalms? Has my soul been full of true confidence in the hour of difficulty, as his was when he sang of God's mercies in the cave of Adullam or in the holds of En-Gedi? Do I take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord? Then turn to the life of Christ, and as you read, ask yourselves how far you are conformed to his likeness. Endeavor to discover whether you have the meekness, the humility, the lovely spirit which he constantly inculcated and displayed. Take then the epistles, and see whether you can go with the apostle in what he said of his experience. Have you ever cried out as he did, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Have you ever felt his self-abasement? Have you seemed to yourself the chief of sinners, and less than the least of all saints? Have you known anything of his devotion? Could you join with him and say, For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain? If we thus read God's Word as a test of our spiritual condition, we shall have good reason to stop many a time and say, Lord, I feel I have never yet been here. Oh, bring me here. Give me true penitence, such as this I read of. Give me real faith. Give me warmer zeal. Inflame me with more fervent love. Grant me the grace of meekness. Make me more like Jesus. Let me no longer be found wanting when weighed in the balances of the sanctuary, lest I be found wanting in the scales of judgment. Judge yourselves, that ye be not judged.
The trumpet had blown. I dreamed that the nations had gathered to judgment before the white throne. From the throne came a bright shining angel and stood on the land and the sea and swore. Hand raised to heaven. was no longer to be. And oh, what a weeping and wailing, as the lost were told of their fate. They cried for the rocks and the mountains. They prayed, but their prayer was too late. The moral man came to the judgment, but his self-righteous rags would not do. The man who had crucified Jesus had passed off as moral men too. The soul that had put off salvation, not tonight, I'll get saved by and by. No time now to think of religion, but at last he had found time to die. And oh, what a weeping and wailing, as the lost were told of their fate. They cried, now the rocks and the mountains. They prayed, but their prayer was too
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're glad that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We continue to receive encouraging responses to these broadcasts, and your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you would be interested in learning more about the Free Presbyterian Church, you might like to receive a copy of our booklet, Separated Under the Gospel, which briefly sets out the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church. That, and any other literature we offer on these broadcasts, is free for the asking. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as what is the gospel, how is the death of Christ relevant in the 21st century, and can you be sure you're saved? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com. Thank you.
the whole controversy over the extent of the atonement, over what Jesus Christ actually did in the atonement, is settled once you recognize that what God purposed can be gauged by what God effects by the sacrifice. God did not set out to do one thing by the death of Christ and end up doing another thing. What he purposed to do, he did. And what he did was what he purposed to do. Now, let's just project ourselves toward the end of time. Let's get to the moment when all things are wrapped up and headed up in Christ. Let's get to the moment when the last of the redeemed has been brought in. Tell me, if you could have divine arithmetic rather than human, and if you could gather together all the redeemed in heaven and number them, you would have a particular people in heaven. Now at the same time, there would be other people in hell. But look at those people in heaven. Then look at those people in hell and ask yourself, what was the purpose of Jesus Christ in offering his sacrifice on Calvary? And I'll tell you, the purpose is the exact equivalent of the effect. The purpose was to bring those people to heaven, and there was absolutely no chance of any failure in the purposed sacrifice of Christ. Twin thoughts then. What is purposed by the sacrifice, and what is performed by the sacrifice, and there is absolutely no lack of correspondence between them. Now, when you look at this Passover, this redemption, you'll see that it really taught three great truths about this purposed and effected salvation. First of all, salvation must be according to the Word of God. That's the message of Hebrews 11. And it's the message of Exodus chapter 12. The Lord was speaking to a people who were in a land of the curse. Egypt, the land of the curse. The land of death. The land that, in Scripture, does represent the world. It is very, very much a representation of the world and the lost estate of men. And God's people were living in that. And they were in danger, for the awful destroyer was coming through. And every home was going to be touched by death and destruction and the wrath and curse of God. But the Lord gave instructions as to how they could be saved. Salvation must always be a matter of divine revelation. So many people today are going out to meet God and they're saying, well, I think this and I think that, and I believe the one thing and I believe another thing, and I'm persuaded of something else, and surely this makes sense. At the bottom of it all, men without Christ are rationalists. The trouble is they are lunatic rationalists, because their rationalism is most unreasonable. Anything that flies in the face of revelation is unreasonable. But men, rationalizing, trying to put away what God has said, men seek to persuade themselves that God will accept them on the basis of what they think. Man, I tell you, there's no surer way to a lost eternity. There is no surer way to the lake of fire than to go out to meet your God, hoping to be saved in some way that you have dreamed up or some other man has dreamed up. Salvation must be according to the Word of God. The second thing it teaches is that salvation must be by the blood of the Lamb. There is no deliverance from the destroyer except under the protection of the blood of the Lamb. Oh, what a turnaround we have had today. God says, put the blood above you, put the blood around you, so that there's blood between you and God, and there's blood between you and the world.
What have man done today? They have removed the covering of blood, and they would dare to go to God without the blood of the Lamb. They see no need for the protection of the blood in their intercourse with the world. All they do with the blood is to put it in the one place that God did not say it should be put, and they put it under their feet. You look at the church life of America today and you'll find there's not much preaching of the blood. You're just a raving, Bible-thumping, old-fashioned, out-of-date fundamentalist if you preach the blood. Well, I'd rather rave and go to heaven than rationalize and go to hell. I'd rather be a Bible thumper and of God's blessing than to be a philosophy thumper and have the curse of Almighty God. I tell you that salvation can only be by the blood of the Lamb. And there is no other way to have sin dealt with. And then finally it teaches that salvation must be received by faith. The blood in the veins of the Lamb could not save the children of Israel from the destroyer and the death angel. The blood in the basin could not save the children of Israel. It was only when that blood was taken and personally applied, what Paul calls the blood of sprinkling. It was only then that the blood's power went into operation in their case and they were saved. You see, there must be a personal application of the blood and the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. That blood sprinkled was sprinkled in faith. By faith he sprinkled the blood. In other words, Moses was looking beyond the situation in his day. He was looking beyond that animal victim. He was looking beyond the blood of that little lamb, and he was seeing the blood of God's Lamb. By faith, he was fixing his eye on the blood of Jesus Christ. And before God, he and those with him were saying, "My faith has found its resting place, and that resting place is the blood and sacrificial atonement of Jesus Christ. To save us from the angel of destruction and death." I pointed out that this is the only occasion where at the observing of the Passover, the blood was actually sprinkled in the doorposts and lintel. You examine it carefully and you'll find that that was never again commanded to be done. I think the meaning's clear. You only need to be saved once. When you get saved, you've got saved. When you've got redeemed, you've got redeemed. When the blood is applied for the salvation of your soul from the angel of death, it's applied once and for all. It has to be commemorated, celebrated. It's a matter of praise. It's a matter of prayer. It's a matter of joy. It's a matter of many things. But as to the matter of fact, it takes place once and for all. Salvation received by faith. Let me ask you today, are you saved according to that book? It doesn't really matter whether I think you're saved or somebody else says you're saved. Let me ask you, if that book is literally true, and it is, are you saved according to that book? Let me ask you, are you saved on the merits of the blood of Christ, or are you hoping to be saved by the merits of your own attainment? And let me ask you, have you ever personally, in repentance and faith, received Christ and his blood, and had the blood, as it were, sprinkled upon your heart and conscience to save you from the destruction and death of the wrath of God. So, there is redemption. The second element in this salvation is, of course, shown at the Red Sea. As soon as a man gets saved out of Egypt, what happens? The king of Egypt comes running after him. As soon as you get delivered from sin, what happens? The old devil will come running after you. Man, you never really knew that there was a devil until God delivered you from him. The power of hell is manifested. The fury of Satan is let loose against you. Oh, the devil is a good Arminian. He believes that once you're saved, he can get you lost again. At least he seems to think that way, because he keeps trying to get you lost. But even if he can't get you to be lost again, what he does seek to do is to get a grip in some way that he can preempt your usefulness to God on any future occasion. The devil ran after the children of Israel. He runs after the Israel of God. If he can ensnare them, rob them of their usefulness, their freshness, their fellowship, in some way destroy the work of grace within them. But I want you to notice that he couldn't do it. It seemed that Pharaoh had the children of Israel hemmed in. It's easy for us to read these words and blame the grousing Israelites. But just imagine that you were there. You've already known the whip of the taskmaster in Egypt. You know the viciousness of these people. You know that when Pharaoh gathers his army, his footmen and his charioteers together, that he's not out on mere maneuvers, that it's not a game. You see Pharaoh and his host coming. All around you look and you see the wilderness. There's no place to run. Before you, there is the Red Sea. You can't run there. The whole situation appeared hopeless. But you see, the Lord made a way to pass over. The Lord says, you're kept, in the words of Peter, by the power of God, through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. What God redeems, he keeps. The devil can never get his hands on a soul that is redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. There's no going back to Egypt for the child of God. He can't be re-lost. He can't be saved and then unsaved, because God saves by blood and he keeps by power. So the first theme then is salvation.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.